Again, let me welcome you today to this celebration of the resurrection. We're so glad you're here today. For some of you, I hope today to at least throw a wrench in some of your doubts. For some of you who are here today, this will be a message you've heard many, 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 many times. I'm sitting there counting up. This is either my 39th or 40th Resurrection Sunday in a row, where I've have stood up to give the message, and it is a blessing to be able to do this today, and a privilege. The title of today's message is "Jesus Arose, So What." Scripture says in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, "I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him from the dead. I want to share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead." You know, the resurrection of Jesus is not an issue until you need His resurrection. Now think about it. You're standing there and you're at the funeral of a loved one, and your child looks up at you and asks you this question: "Daddy, will I see," and fill in the blank, "will I see them again?" How important is the resurrection on that day? Or maybe you're terminally ill yourself, and you know that barring a miracle of God that the life is going to pass from your body. And you're wondering what lies beyond. Is the resurrection important on that day? As pastor, I've had the opportunity to sit with many, 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 many people in those times. And I've had those questions asked of me. I want you to know it's a sobering thought. Resurrection is this is a happy celebration mode here that we're in today, and it's a joyful time to be together. But there's a reason it's joyful, because something is at stake. When Paul said, "I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him from the dead," you see, this is a man who had experienced the change that Christ can bring. So, to our original question, Jesus arose, so what? Well, first answer to that is Jesus gives me real power to live. He really did rise from the dead. And let's just rip off the evidence here, just very quickly. Eyewitnesses saw Him. You know the first eyewitness that saw Him? Mary Magdalene. She was the first one at the tomb to see the empty tomb. She was the first witness. Why would He allow a woman to do that? Why would God orchestrate it in that way? If you were orchestrating a story around something that would be believable in that day, the first place you would not start is with a woman. Because guess what? A woman in those days could not testify in court. Her word meant nothing. She was chattel to her husband. Let me race ahead and say to you one of the applications that Jesus did more to raise the status of women in the world than any other person, any other entity that has ever been on the face of this earth. Peter and John saw Him. Verified. Mary saw Him. The 12 saw Him. Other women saw Him. The Emmaus Road disciples, Brother Rick talked about that. Cleopas and the other disciple saw Jesus and had a meal with Him. Remember, you know, He breaks the bread. Wow. They recognize Him. 500 people saw Him at one time. a very large group gathered and watched him ascend into heaven. Verified. Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. Christians like you and me, for two millennia now, have experienced his presence and his power, and we see him in our daily lives. And guess what? The way I know he lives in my heart. He's changed me. He changed our family. He changed our direction. And let me tell you, if they wanted to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie Risen, I'd encourage you to watch that movie. It sees it from a Roman soldier's point of view, a tribune. Very interesting way of looking at the story, but makes you think about a lot of things, a lot of ways in which God was at work validating his story, and how they in that movie were trying to find the dead body. The problem is, the only place they were seeing the body, he was alive. That's a problem for people who don't believe in the resurrection. Secondly, Jesus gives us power to live. Power to live. Power over life and death. He changes the heart of a man. He changes us into the people he wants us to be. He has power over sin. I look at people in my life that I've seen that have that he has changed their lives. I think of this man who had been an abusive. I mean, he was one of the most awful human beings I had ever met. Every time, and I met him when he was very old. But everyone in the county where he lived, they told me how rough he had been with the people in his life. And as I met him, it was all I could do to just sit there and talk to him. And even in talking to me, the things that he would say were just so out of line. And several years passed, and I got a call one day from one of his children. And they said, hey, Dad is in the nursing home. He finally couldn't take care of himself, and we've taken him there, and he's asked to see you. I said, really? I thought, why would he want to see me? And he was never interested in Jesus or anything I had to say or interested in me praying for him or anything that was going on in his life. And I walked into his room, and he said, as soon as I walked in, he started crying. He said, what can I do for you? He lay back in the bed, and he said, preacher, I'm ready. I said, ready for what? He said, I'm ready for Jesus. I said, really? What do you mean? He said, you remember all that stuff you were telling me that Jesus could change a man's life? He said, now, here's the thing. When he got in the nursing home, he finally got sober. He was an alcoholic, drank all of his life. Finally got sober. But not only did he sober up physically, he sobered up spiritually. God changed his life. His family, the last, probably, he probably lived about a year and a half, 2 years after that. They called me up and they said, we can't believe that this is our daddy. And I said, it's not your daddy. God did a work in his life. You see, Jesus has power over life and death. He has power to make a person alive, come back to life. One of my relatives, I'll not tell you this whole story, but we'd cashed it in on him. And God brought him to life. He became a new person. He has power over history. He has power for You think about all the events of history. What axis do they turn on? What does history turn on? One person. Jesus. Time turns on him. Everybody talks about him. Because the ones who aren't for him, they're what? Nobody ignores him. He has power over sickness. I've seen it happen so many times in my life since I really began to believe that Jesus could heal people. Today, a young man we prayed for in Africa that was deaf his entire life, and God gave him back his hearing. That happened right before our eyes. He has the power and the ability to grant life, to breathe life back into families. I remember this couple that I married years ago. She was a Southern Belle and dyed-in-the-wool Southerner, and he was from upstate New York. Now, if ever there was an odd couple, and they came from kind of different backgrounds. Neither one very much of Jesus in their background. And they both came to know the Lord. And they started dating each other. And they came to me and wanted me to marry him. I've seen now, here's her line, here's his line of people, and God stops that generational thing. Here they turn to Jesus, and their children have now turned to Jesus, and their grandchildren have turned to Jesus. It changes life. It changes what you live for when you start to believe in Jesus. He changes everything. He wants us to start living. That scripture I read to you again from Philippians 3. I want to know Christ and the power that raised him from the dead. I want to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. You see, many people have it mixed up, and maybe you do, about what Jesus wants in your life. Some of you think of that he's some big killjoy in the sky, that all he ever wants is for you to suffer. How many of you have believed that at one time or another in your life? A few. I think many more if you were honest. But you see, it was his love that forced him out of heaven. It was his love for you that drew him to you. It was a fallen world. Sin entered in because man chose. This was a perfect world. God made this a perfect world. God did not mess this world up. Men did. And so because of his great love, he came himself. Scripture says he sent his prophets, he sent other people who would come and bring his message. His messengers came, but at last he came himself. He came personally. He came personally to die on the cross, which he did in our behalf. He stepped out of heaven, the Son of God, and died in our place on a cross, and there he suffered. How many of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ? Let me ask you, did it give you a better idea of the suffering of Jesus? Yes? It did for me. It's one thing to read about it, another to see it before you and imagine that being played out. All of that suffering, and suffering for this one who did not have to suffer at all. He didn't have to step out of heaven. He didn't have to concern himself with us, yet he did. Why? Because of his love, his unconditional love for us. His love is what makes him pursue us today. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever felt like God was just pulling at you in the most unusual places, in the most unusual times, where he was speaking to you? Where, and you're wondering, who is that? What is that? You hear a message. You're at church, or you're reading the Bible, or you hear someone on the radio, or you read something on Facebook, or someone sends you a text, and you look at that, and suddenly it's like, wow, this is bigger than me. Someone's trying to get through to me. There's a message that I need to hear. Look at all the projects, the journeys that have been launched where man was trying to figure out that very problem, when what they were trying to do was find out how to fill the empty hole that is right here. That emptiness that you feel. When I was a little boy, my mother and my grandmother would pray with me every night. And here is the prayer we would pray. You know this prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, Lord, my soul to take. I remember one night, and I can take you to the piece of real estate. The house isn't there anymore. But I can take you to within a couple of feet where I knelt by my bed and I prayed that prayer. I remember the first time wondering, will Jesus really come and take me to be with him? As a little boy, I wondered about that and the mystery of that, the mystery of praying that prayer. And you know, as children, children haven't yet gotten all the hardness, the barnacles on their heart, and the life experiences that toughen us up, and where we have calluses on our soul, and truth can't get through. Children are still very open to hear and to understand. I'm 63 years old. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was 5, maybe 6 years old. God was speaking to me. He was reaching out to me, just like he is to you, because he loves you. That love that he doesn't cut off anybody. Man, until you die, he is after you. He is after you with a great love. Jesus arose on the third day. He ascended back to the Father, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and today he accepts everybody who'll come to him in faith and trust. You know, each of us can receive this power today. I can really have the life that Jesus offers, the life that he gives. You can have it. Some of you say to me, oh, Dusty, you don't know me. God, God doesn't want me. Yes, he does. You see, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Includes you. Includes me. It's not just a dream that God loves you. And this gift he offers you is truly a gift. Now this is something that I had trouble with. I had a lot of trouble with this in my life. I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that God would offer me life with him forever as a free gift. Any of y'all had that same problem? That when in your journey with Christ, that God would just offer this free gift? It seemed like, I got to work for it. I got to do something for it. There's got to be some kind of trade there. But yet, the Bible says it's a free gift, not as a result of works, so no one can boast about it. And see, whether you're at the top of the food chain in society or if you're at the lower rung, it's all even when you come to Jesus. Because you see, in the Scripture, it talks about all kinds of people that Jesus came to. Even in the story there, they're the people, the rabble of the crowd who were heralding Him as He came in on Palm Sunday, and we celebrated that last week. All these people saying, "Hosanna, save now, King of the Jews," all that stuff. And yet, by later on in the week, what are those same people saying? What? Crucify Him. But yet, Jesus' love was for them. Here's Pilate. You know, he goes through 6 trials and 3 civil, 3 religious trials. And each one of them, be it the scribes and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, or Pilate himself. Here's Pilate and his wife who has this vision and says, "Hey, this man's innocent." Even Pilate has a chance to come to Jesus. The love of Jesus is going even to him. It's a free gift. You can't work for this gift of life that He gives you. And it's a gift you can have immediately. You can have the power over stuff that defeats you. The Bible says in 1 John, He says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, when you think about works of the devil, what comes to your mind? We have any works of the devil in Savannah, Georgia? Have y'all had to deal with any works of the devil this week? Have you had to deal with some people that you thought were possessed by the devil this week? Well, maybe some of you haven't lived long enough yet. You see, Jesus came to make things right, to put things back, to restore a person to how He saw them. Listen, I had this uncle that I referred to earlier. I mean, he was a rounder. I mean, parts of his life, he was not a good guy at all. I mean, he had to leave a couple of counties with the law after him. Probably telling you too much today. But I saw God change his life as he received that free gift. And you see, you can begin living that life today. You don't have to sit by and watch your life just spin out of control. You don't have to say, "Well, that's good for the religious people." Let me tell you, Jesus hated religious people. What He said to religious people, He said to the scribes and Pharisees, He said, "You're like open graves." The fancy word there, He said, "You're whited sepulchres that people fall into, the lies and the untruth." I want you to know today, Jesus is not a religion. He is a person. He is a person who wants to come and live in your life. He is a person who will change your life. He'll change you from the inside out. I'm going to put you on the spot. Sophia, would you stand up, please? Sophia, you really spoke to my heart in what you said about the resurrection. Tell these people why you know the resurrection is true.
Okay. Okay, forgive me. I'm going to close my eyes because y'all look great, but I'm not with in front of people. The reason why I know that the resurrection is real is because my life of growing up against and trying to change and trying to fight against, whether it was abuse or addiction or family dysfunctions, and trying to take other people's advice and my own of trying to make things change and go for the better, and that just did not go anywhere. And the reason I know why he is real and alive is that when I truly came to the point where I'd had enough and I submitted myself to him and said, yes, Lord Jesus, whatever you say, that's what I want, life changed. I wasn't carrying the burden. I wasn't carrying the weight that I had. And through a relationship with him, through people who cared enough to check in with me and help me get into his word and see that the way that I saw life could truly change, that really happened. You know, that there was healing from past abuse. There was healing from devastating choices I had made. And there was freedom from addictions that I truly did not realize I would ever be free from. And regardless of anyone coming, because no one came with me, family, friends, no, they were still doing their own thing. So it was just me and him. And praise God, he was enough. And so, and it's something that lasted. It wasn't just this is a different chapter. It's a whole nother library in another country different. And I'm just so very, very thankful. And it's not that it made, you know, never having problems, but when problems came, it was like, man, he saw me through such and such. He will see me through this. And through the body of Christ, mm-hmm. being seeing the interaction, being needed, and needing them, needing the testimony, the whole, that scripture of we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Praise God, it's true. Amen. It is true. And that's what I've been able to stand on, you know, in having a wonderful husband and beautiful children and the ups and downs of life. And when I go and talk with anybody, especially that's facing hard times, it's like you've got to have something real to give them, not some just good ideas. And something that's beyond yourself, something that is a person that, you know, out of the love and all that you've just heard about, how Dusty can explain it much better, but that it is truly life-changing in ways from the deepest part of your soul to even just habits. Amen. So
you can kill me later. I asked God this morning, I didn't want this to be just another day. I've departed all kinds of ways from that outline John's been going back and forth with. I've really made a lot of departures today. But I asked God this morning, said, I want to be reminded today of what it's really about, that it's real. And I came here and, you know, thinking I'm going to be the distributor, and I became the receiver as Sophia stood up at our early service today and she said that. And the power of that testimony, it's the changed life. He is real and he'll change everything in your life. He did it in my family. He'll do it in yours. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We open the altar now. And I don't know where you stand with Jesus. I really don't care about how religious you are or what church you used to go to or how many stars you've got in your human crown. None of that makes any difference to me and makes no difference to Jesus either, by the way. None of that stuff impresses him. What I am concerned about today is, does he live within your heart? Has it moved from more than a proclamation that's outside that I can say, oh yeah, I believe that stuff, to I really do believe? all those disciples that we talked about, only one of the 11 that was left did not die a martyr's death. Think of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands that just in that time period gave their life because they knew that they knew that they knew that Jesus is alive. He's alive today. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart. You ask me how I know He lives? Hey, He's living in me. Pastor Dane, Miss Kathy, Rick, Miss Regina, they'll be over here, and Kathy will be over here, and I'll be here. If you want to come and pray with one of us today, if today you would like to invite Jesus into your life to be your Savior and your Lord, I'm encouraging you. Come. If you would like to come and pray for any other reason, all those other things that I talked about, that Jesus changes, we're here to pray with you today. We're off the clock. We're off the record. We haven't gone according to any kind of outline here today, except I believe His outline for you. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence and Your power, for that testimony that we just heard, a changed life. I ask You, Lord, come now. Come and move in us. Let us not hold back. Lord, some of us who are here have great pains of the soul. I'm praying for these right now. May this be the day. May this be the day of salvation. May this be the day of healing. May this be the day, Lord, of family restoration, of reconciliation with a family member or friend, of broken relationships. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. The altar's open. Anthony, want to share a word of thanks with you and give you an encouragement today.
So last August, I got a call from, bear with me, I'm going to try to get through this. I called my dad up to see if he was going to come into town, and he said he wasn't going to make it. He had cancer. It progressed a lot faster than we thought it would. And last Monday, or March 19th at 12:02 p.m., he passed into eternity. Support I've gotten from all of you has been, like, overwhelming, to say the least. It makes it a little bit easier coming here knowing that I'm coming into a place that loves me and loves my family, like the song, like, with arms wide open. But I couldn't let this moment pass without echoing something I've heard Dusty say countless times. And he always says, you know, is there somebody in your life, is there somebody that you know that might not know Christ? And every time I'd hear that, I always think of my dad. Because growing up, my dad had, you know, a sailor's mouth. He smoked his whole life. He was not the kind of person that you would, you know, necessarily look up to for a Christian example, let's say. So I always wondered, and being a 20-something, 30-something year old man, how do you ask your father, are you a Christian? Like, I just never got that strength. And one of my biggest regrets going forward will be not knowing for myself personally if he was or was not a Christian. But being in the hospital with him and with my family, I heard from 3 different people at least that my dad, in his own South Georgia way, he was right with God, or he had his fire insurance, as one person put it. So there is comfort in that. But to echo something Dusty said countless times, if there's somebody that you know that there's any question, any doubt, you know, don't let today go by, because we're not promised tomorrow. Even if you're promised tomorrow, it might not finish up. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving our family. And just, you know, continue to pray for us.
Stewie, come up here. You got some people you want to introduce to us?
Well, this is Jackson and Jamal sitting down. and I hope Jackson and Jamal.
Amen. Amen. I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth there. And we praise the Lord. They're twins, unless you not Stewie and Jackson, but Jackson and Jamal. God bless you, boys. Blessings on both of you. Most wonderful experience that you'll ever have in your life is receiving Christ and making your profession of faith in Him. And we praise the Lord. Rick, you got anything else? Dane, anything else? For all the people that don't have a place to go have dinner today, Dane's treating everybody down at Schuyler's. I'm lying. That's the only lie I've told today now. Oh, wait a second. Maybe it was two. I did tell one story before church back there. Yep. I know John's tired of me. I've had him so confused today. I really did reroute everything today, kind of on the fly. But I've done that before. The Lord bless you. We're so glad that you're here today. Where's Hope? Right there. Hope, stand up. We're so glad you're home. She's going to have a new TV program. Everybody loves Hopi. So glad Masako's got Craig here with us today, Fashion Plate. And so good to see all of you here today. The Lord bless you. I'm going to give you a blessing and send you out. Let's one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now, Lord, we pray that you will send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of Jesus our Savior, in the authority of God the Father. Amen. If you have one of those cards, we'd like to get it at the back, or if you have an offering to bring, baskets are back there.